Let us offer our consecration to the Lord. Lord, we offer up to you this day, as we continue learning of the work of Paul and Barnabas in the words of Jesus, as the message is being spread more and more, we see in the early days of the church, and we're understanding the dynamics behind that. And we are seeking to grow in faith. We're seeking to grow in our understanding of who you are, and we're seeking to spread that message to all the world. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Well, you heard that little beeping sound in the background. Well, we are on Wednesday. We are here Wednesday of the fifth week of Easter as we've been going along. And now we're halfway through the week. Obviously, we're about to be. I guess at the end of the day, we'll be there. So anyway, if you are following us along in either your respective daily reading publication, either it's a missal, which you can get in various places, or maybe Magnificat, or some of the other versions there, and some of the other publications there. And so, anyway, or bible.usccb.org, you're going to see this is something that's very key, and maybe it's something to reflect on what's going on in our church today. What we see here is this whole understanding of whether or not you follow the Jewish law and the Jewish practice, which is called Mosaic practice. Mosaic comes from Moses, and that's what it means, to live the Mosaic law or live the Mosaic practice, or do we not do that? And it says right here, unless you are circumcised according to the Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved, is what some of the brothers, is the term used, some of the people were saying in Judea. And so there was this big discussion that was happening throughout all of Christendom, which is in its early stages, throughout the world, in that world, throughout that world. So probably you're going as far up, or maybe from the Greek areas and Israel, which at the time would be Judah, actually, and the Roman Empire and everything else. And this whole discussion, because what's happening is you got some people saying you can be saved if you are not circumcised, and some people say, no, you have to be circumcised, you have to follow all the Jewish law. This becomes so intense, by the way. It is the key theme of Paul's letter to the Galatians. And this is a family show of some type, so I am not going to be as graphic as Paul is, by the way, in the letter of Galatians to explain why absolutely we don't, as Christians, have to be involved in Mosaic practice. But it is there, and it is true. But this is where it is this huge discussion and this huge fight. And so you have, remember, the early stages of the church had some Gentiles, but a lot of what we would call today is Messianic Jews. And Messianic Jews were Jews who believe in the Messiah. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to meet Messianic Jews or to speak with them. They are fascinating, because they really are, because they understand Christianity. They understand what the Bible teaches. They understand the history of our faith. They may not be Catholics, or they may be converts from Catholicism, but they understand all this, and they are Christians. So they really have these great understandings of the Jewish history and then Christianity as well. So they're fascinating to talk to. There is a Messianic Jewish, there aren't many of them, you know, Messianic Jewish synagogue in Dallas. And I don't know if there are any others. There must be, but there's one in Dallas. Of course, many of you have heard of Jews for Jesus, which is a group of Messianic Jews. But that's what it means. And Messianic means that they believe Jesus is the Messiah. It's hence the term. So here you had, now I should also add that they are what is known as Messianic Jews. They are Jews who believe, as I said, that Jesus is the Messiah. There's another term called Judaizers or Judaizers. They're not the same thing. Judaizers believe that in exactly what you see in the reading today, in order to be saved, you have to follow the Mosaic Law. And there are some Christian denominations that do that. And generally, they despise Catholics, I have to tell you. And it's not that they really don't like us as human beings. It's just they despise us because they believe that we changed all the rules and we change the Mosaic practice so that it's no longer applicable. They blame us, even though it's right there in the Acts of the Apostles. So that's something that happens. And you know, I'm not going to say the name of the denomination in this because there's no reason. This isn't here to do one thing or another. I just happen to let you know that that is generally the case. So one of the things that you want to recognize is that this is this great argument that's going on. And as this argument goes on of whether or not people should be follow Mosaic practice, then they send representatives to the Council of Jerusalem. I talked about this last week a little bit. And that becomes the first ecumenical council. So the Council of Jerusalem becomes the first council. It's the whole church comes together and it becomes the church council to settle this decision. And what ultimately comes out of this decision is that the Gentile Christians do not have to follow the Mosaic Law, and we don't to this day. It's interesting because I was talking about this on Monday, and as I was talking about it, I was cooking pork, which if I was following Mosaic Law, I could not eat. And I says, you know, ironically enough, I'm cooking pork right now. We're going to talk more on the other side of the break. You're listening to St. Anthony Overnight from St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts, right here on WEZE 590 AM. And you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. We'll be right back right after this. I want to call your attention to Catholic TV, which offers great faith-filled, family-friendly programming 24 hours a day. You can find your cable channel at www.getcatholictv.com, and you can watch online on the free apps or check out the YouTube channel. Daily Mass, Rosaries, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and the Our Lady of Perpetual Help Novena are all available online and on demand. Check out CatholicTV.com. And don't forget to let people know where you hear our program or at CatholicAudioMedia.com, but pass the word. Let people know where you can find us, and also you can hear us through your respective smart speaker. By the way, if you happen to tune into Catholic TV because you happen to listen to the ad, let them know. Send a little message to them. You know, I heard about you on Catholic Audio Media or the St. Anthony Overnight or the Voice of St. Anthony, because we have those are the two programs we have, the Voice of St. Anthony and St. Anthony Overnight, and you can hear them both through Catholic Audio Media. But let Catholic TV know. Say, hey, that's how I heard about your program. Those are not paid advertisements, by the way. Those are public service announcements. We let people know, and we help people to know about Catholic TV. And that's important because Catholic TV is also part of the ministry of the church to let people know. So that's one of the reasons why we do that. In any case, so we're talking about there is this dissension that comes up and they have to settle this. And so they have the Council of Jerusalem. Now, one of the important things to look at is a council happens about once every 100 years, and you can trace them back. There is no rule that says you have to hold a council every 100 years. They just happen to happen. There are big councils, and then there are other councils that aren't so famous, aren't so well known. I mentioned to people probably the most famous to people is the Council of Nicaea, because out of that came the Nicene Creed, where it is defined what we believe. And there are many Christians who are not Catholic who also believe everything that is in the Nicene Creed, and it is generally accepted. How do you know if someone's Christian? Well, they believe in the Nicene Creed. That is often something that is said. So that's something came out of the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century. And there were other councils. Obviously, there was the big Council of Trent, which was the response to the Protestant Reformation that came out of 1517. And that was the response to the Protestant Reformation, is Council of Trent. And obviously, so you had that, and then of course, you had the Vatican II Council in 1967. You had Vatican I. A lot of people don't know. They go, well, what is this Vatican I? Vatican I is where they determined that when the Pope speaks on issues of faith and morals, only faith and morals, it is infallible. So when the Pope says something, our current Pope, there are people that get all angry at our Pope, and the current Pope says something political, that's not infallible. It's not infallible. It's only in faith and moral teaching. It's called ex cathedra, which means from the chair. He doesn't literally have to be sitting in the chair when he says that. But, and I'll tell you, the most classic example when this came out was when Pope John Paul II declared that the death penalty is virtually, the conditions for the death penalty are virtually non-existent. People immediately asked, was that an ex cathedra teaching? Was that an ex cathedra teaching? Because they want to know whether it is considered infallible teaching in the Catholic Church that we don't believe in the death penalty. We believe that the death penalty should be as an absolute last resort, for which such conditions rarely exist. And I think Pope Francis basically said, well, we don't believe in it at all. So that's important, an important consideration. In any case, these are what happened. So look what's going on in our church today. Look what's going on over the past and upcoming 100 years. That'll be, you know, that from 1967 to about 2067, and you're going to see what probably will be the theme of the next council. We're starting to see that now. So see what issues pop up in the church, and you're going to see what will be the theme of the next council. Have yourself a blessed day. We will talk to you again tomorrow and let people know about the program. If you would like to support our program, please consider a donation to St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts. There are several ways to consider this. One is to purchase any of our merchandise, which you can find at the shopping tab at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. There are coffee mugs there. There's also my latest book, Encounter Christ in Your Humanity, all of which you can find at the shopping tab at CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can also donate to the show directly through either the Donate tab, also at CatholicAudioMedia.com, or by sending a donation to the U.S. Postal Service with your questions and comments at 43 Holton Street, Alston, Massachusetts, 02134. That's St. Anthony Parish, 43 Holton Street, Alston, Massachusetts, 02134. Finally, the best way you can support our parish is to attend Mass on Sundays at 10 o'clock and be a part of our parish. We thank you for any support you would like to give to St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts, the sponsoring parish for this media outreach to Catholics and other Christians in the WROL, WEZE, and podcast listening audience. In Cristo vivimos.